Okay, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going to start the couple verses in the book of Genesis. So let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We are on Thursday night. We're going through. Make sure I'm recording. All right. We have been studying the book of Proverbs on Thursday night, and we still have a couple months left in the book of Proverbs. When we finish up with the book of Proverbs, I'm excited about a new Bible study we're going to start, and we're going to start studying the book of Genesis. And there are so many wonderful truths in that book. Genesis is the book of origin, the book of beginnings, and I'm super excited. I've already begun working on preparing material for that. And so I would like to invite for you to come and be part of that Bible study. So many wonderful things. And we'll begin that here probably in a few months once I finish the book of Proverbs. But tonight we're going to use a couple verses in Genesis as a starting point. And we're going to spend the next few weeks on Sunday night talking about the subject of what it means to walk with God. And I want to help you. I want to try and challenge you in this area of your life. And I promise you, to me, this is one of the greatest secrets of the Christian life, to not just live the Christian life, but to really get the most out of it as you are on your Christian journey. And so Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to read a couple verses out of this chapter and then a couple verses out of chapter 6. So stand with me if you will, and we're going to read here verses 21, beginning here in verse 21. And there's a description here of some men here in the book of Genesis that I want to point out to you. It says here in verse 21 of chapter 5, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And then look over to Genesis chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study your Bible, and Lord, glean its truths. God, please speak to our hearts tonight. We need you, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us as we talk about this wonderful subject, about a relationship with you, God, and more than just salvation, God. So help us, we pray. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may have heard of that term before. Maybe you've never heard of that term before. But what does it mean to walk with God? I mentioned this morning that our relationship with God begins at salvation. Amen? And by the way, thank goodness for being saved. Aren't you thankful that you're saved tonight? Amen? Aren't you so thankful that God loved us enough to send His Son to this earth? And the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm so thankful. My life changed the day I got saved. And I got saved on September the 13th, 1989. I was just a 9-year-old boy, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember coming home from church on a Wednesday night, and as we were coming home, my parents were talking to me and my brother, and we were talking about being saved and the things we saw at church that night. And I remember my mom turned around and looked at me, and she says, "When did you get saved?" And I just got real quiet, and I really didn't have an answer for it. And so when we got home that night, my mom took the Bible there in our living room, and she led me to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, my life hasn't been the same since. I remember the night I got saved and how the Lord came, and I still remember to this day, I remember the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of me. I remember it. I'll never forget it. I remember the peace that I had that night, knowing that my sins were washed away. Amen? And so that's where our Christian journey begins. It begins the day of salvation. But you know, church, listen, that's not where God wants us to end at. Okay? And for a lot of people, that's really all their Christian life consists of. It consists of the day they got saved, and then they get saved, but yet, you know what? It's just kind of something they keep at arm's length. And, excuse me, it may just not be something that's real close to them in their lives, but listen, the Christian life is way more than that. And God wants to have a personal relationship with us. And you know, that amazes me. This morning I talked to you about how that God has all the stars named and numbered. Now you think about that. A God that's big enough to know how many stars there are, to have a name for all the stars that there are, He's that big, but yet He still wants to have a personal relationship relationship with me. That's amazing, amen? And that's wonderful. And I want us to take advantage of that relationship that God offers us. So I'm just going to give you some things tonight about what it means to walk with God. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is this, and maybe you've heard this phrase before, maybe you haven't heard this phrase before, but I want to talk about the importance of what we call morning devotions, okay? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3, David here says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." You know, I believe as Christians that we ought to give God our best, amen? You've heard me say that all the time about giving God our best. He deserves our best. And I believe that ought to break down to every area of our life, especially when it comes to our day. Okay? And I believe we ought to give God the first part and the best part of our day. And you know, it's a wonderful habit to get into as a Christian to begin your day on the right note by communicating with your God. Amen? By the way, you read through the Bible and you know what the pattern is throughout the Scripture? It's meeting with God in the morning. Okay, now I understand everybody's schedule is different. Some of y'all may have a night shift or something like that. I understand, so there are different circumstances, and it's not set in stone. I mean, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt do this in the morning, but there's a pattern all throughout Scripture. And I believe it's important as Christians that we meet with God every day. And sometimes you may hear the terminology, if you will, it may be referred to as morning devotions. It's a time where you get together with God and you spend some time with Him, all right? And I'll just tell you how I do it in my life, okay? And how I've trained my children to do it, and how we do it in our family, and how I was taught to do it when I was a young man. And it always begins, here's how I start my day. I always start it with the Scripture. Okay? I always start reading my Bible. Now, you know what? Sometimes maybe you need to wake up a little bit. All right? For some of y'all, it might be a cup of coffee or a shower. Okay? I'm not a big coffee drinker, but for Christmas, my mom, right? Or you, did you get it? I forget. My mom got me, my wife, somebody got me a Keurig. All right? Y'all know what those are, right? The single cup of coffee. And I'm not addicted to coffee by any means, but since I got that, every morning, when I get up, I've been making my cup of coffee, going to my office and starting with my Bible, all right? And I'll just sit there at my desk, and I got this weird thing about lighting. My wife will tell you, I am weird about lighting. I like lights a certain way, okay? And I don't like certain lights on. I like certain lights on, certain lights off. And so I got it just right. Well, I got a lamp in my office where I got the lighting how I like it, okay? And I turn my lamp on, and I'll sit there, and I'll drink my cup of coffee, and I'll begin by reading the Scripture. By the way, what a wonderful way to start our day, amen? And we ought to start with the Word of God. And I was talking about this earlier, but as far as challenging you to try to read through the Bible in a year. And by the way, that's really not that hard to do. And if you would take, and there's different ways to do it, and there's all kinds of different plans you can get on and schedules you can get on. But if you would just read 5 pages of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying 5 chapters. I mean 5 pages, okay? And wherever, when you get to that 5th page, wherever the chapter breaks at, stop there. If you read 5 pages of the Bible every day, you could read through it easily in a year. Okay? And honestly, folks, doesn't really take you that long. I mean, I'm not talking about speed reading. I'm talking about on just a normal reading comprehension level. You could do that in about 15 to 20 minutes. That's all it would take. And so you ought to begin your day with the Word of God. Now, before I read the Bible, I say the same prayer every day. I say, Lord, I come to you this morning, God. Thank you for allowing me to get out of bed. Now, Lord, I'm going to open your Word. God, I need something from it today. God, would you speak to my heart? Holy Spirit, would you please show me something as I read the Bible? Now listen, I don't read it just to say I read it. Okay? That's not why I do it. I do it because I want to hear God speak to me. Okay? Now church, I preached about the Bible before. I'm probably going to do it again because I always want to keep the Word of God and the importance of it before our church. But listen to me. It's through God's Word is how He communicates with us today. Okay, He doesn't appear to us the way He did back in the Old Testament. I talked about Moses this morning. You know, God's plan back then was to appear to some people. He would appear in things like a burning bush or like visions and dreams like He did to men like Jacob and Joseph. Listen, that's not the day and age we're living in. Okay, and by the way, some Christians say, oh, I wish it was. You know, the Bible says it is now that the Word of God is completed, that it's a more sure word of prophecy. And God says He's exalted His Word above His very name. And listen, we may not understand the importance of the Bible, but God does. And He says, listen, I'll speak to you through My Word as long as you will try as a Christian to have a relationship with Me through My Word. And again, I'm not going to spend all my time tonight talking about that, but I want to stress to you the importance of reading your Bible every single day. Amen? And so that's where it begins at. And then after you spend time in the Scripture, you ought to spend time in prayer. Okay, spend time in prayer. And again, I spent last year a whole month preaching and teaching about prayer. And I might do that again sometime because it's important. But let me just tell you what I do when I pray. Remember something. Let me tell you what prayer is. The Word of God, when I read it, it's God speaking to me. Prayer is my opportunity to speak to God. Okay? And by the way, let me just say this. When you pray, you're not wasting your time. Okay? The very God of heaven has made it in such a way to where we have access to Him. And this is a whole teaching of doctrine. And again, there's so many areas I could go with this. But when Jesus died on that cross, folks, I'm telling you, so many things happened. Not only was there eternal salvation paid for, but there was a direct path access made to us from earth to God that we literally can approach His throne in prayer. Now, before Christ died, that wasn't the case. Back in the Old Testament, you know what? The people didn't have that close relationship with God because of sin. And because animal sacrifices weren't as perfect as the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And man was separated from God. That's why back in the Old Testament, when they had that tabernacle that was set up, only the priest could enter the Holy of Holies once a year to offer atonement on the mercy seat. And you know what? If that priest didn't do it just right, God struck him dead because of his holiness and because of his perfection. And it all had to be done just right. But when Jesus died on that cross, one of the things that happened was that veil that was in the temple that separated the Holy Holies from the rest of the temple literally was ripped in two, signifying that man now had direct access to the very God of heaven. Let me tell you something, that's powerful, amen? That means the very God of heaven who spoke everything into existence hears when you pray. That is powerful. Hebrews tells us, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let me tell you why the devil doesn't want Christians praying, because he knows how dangerous a Christian is that prays. He knows how dangerous he is. So the devil will do anything he can to keep us from praying. Listen, prayer is important. Amen? And so prayer every day is time where we can pray to God. Again, let me just tell you how I do it in my life. And I believe this is a Bible formula based upon Jesus' example of the Lord's Prayer. You know, some people think the Lord's Prayer is something that ought to just kind of be repeated and is something that just, you know, there's power in repeating it. And again, I'm not saying that there's not power in it. It is the Word of God. But when Jesus taught us to pray, He used the Lord's Prayer as an example of how to pray. Okay? And so when you pray, I will start, first of all, with praise. Amen? Now, when I begin my conversation with God, and by the way, when I pray, listen, talk to God just like you talk to your friend. Just speak to Him. Speak out loud to Him. And I like to pray out loud. Sometimes I pray out loud. Sometimes I pray in my heart. And I pray without talking. But listen, there's different ways, I guess, you can pray and communicate. But the important thing is that you do it. Amen? Spend time praising Him. Spend the first part of your prayer time thanking Him for who He is. So I spend time with praise. And then I spend time with confession. And you hear me talk about this some. But I make sure that, you know what? The communication lines between me and God are right. You know why? Because sin separates us from God. And I want to make sure that in my life, everything, if there's any unconfessed sin, I confess it to Him. I make sure I'm clean. I make sure I'm right so our communication lines can be open. So praise, confession. And then once I'm on what I call praying ground. Amen? I've praised Him for a while. I've confessed to Him. And then I begin praying. By the way, you know what the word prayer means? It means to ask. That's what it means. And I begin praying. I first of all, pray for others. And that's the time I spend praying for things like my family. I pray for my church family, other people that's asked me to pray for them that need my help, or I'm sorry, that need God's help and they've asked me to pray for them. And so I spend some time praying for other people. And then when I'm done praying for others, and then I'll spend time praying about my own personal needs. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, amen? God wants you to bring your needs to Him. God wants you to bring your cares and things to Him. And I'll spend time praying about that. And I promise you, you know what? It's like any other person you enjoy being around. All right? Before you know, you look up and you can't believe how much time's passed because you've enjoyed the fellowship. Amen? You know, when I was, my wife and I, and y'all know how relationships are. I mean, the more you get to know someone, the more familiar you become with them. Sometimes you got to work to make relationships better. But you remember when you met your spouse the very first time you met him? And you remember how you just couldn't stay apart from him and all? You talk on the phone, what you thought was 5 minutes, ended up being 2 hours. You know what I'm talking about? All right? And we still try to have that relationship. I'm not saying we don't. But y'all understand what I'm saying, right? That time you were Twitter-pated with the one, your spouse, you're with. I mean, I remember when I was in Bible college, we didn't have cell phones back then. I mean, cell phones weren't even heard of back then, other than the bag phones. Y'all remember what the bag phones were? All right. You kids have no idea what we're talking about. All right. In fact, I just found, I was in my dad's garage the other day helping look for something, and I found his bag phone that he had when I was a teenager. I still remember the night he got that thing. He pulled up in the church parking lot, and all the teenagers were gathered around my dad's van looking at his bag phone. We thought it was so cool, you know? But I remember when I was in Bible college, we had a phone card. All right, that's how we could my wife and I, we talked on the phone card. And I remember I couldn't wait to get to that phone and call her. And I remember I'd call her. I usually called you on Wednesdays and Sundays, right? And because I was at college and she was still at home, and we'd sit there on that phone and literally, I mean, we talked for an hour and I thought it was 2 minutes. You know why? Because of the fellowship, the communion that we had, all right? Now listen, church, I'm telling you, you begin to develop a relationship with God, you won't have problems praying. Because it's something that you look forward to, you enjoy, you have time in communion with Him. And so, you ought to begin your day that way. You ought to begin it with the Word, you ought to begin it with prayer. And I'll tell you something that will help you do this, is this. You ought to meet at the same place and the same time every day, if all possible. Same place and same time. I can still tell you, when I was a kid, when I began to figure out what it was to walk with God, I was a teenager, and I remember I went to a church camp one summer, man, God got a hold of my heart, and I had a desire to know who God was. And I remember coming back from camp, and I remember, and the preacher preached along the same lines as I'm preaching to you tonight, and so I decided, Lord, I'm going to get to know you. And I remember finding that place out in the woods, and every single morning, I remember, I'd get up early before I'd have to leave, and I'd go out, and I'd grab a sleeping bag, and I'd take it, and I'd throw it on the ground out there in the woods. And I remember meeting with God, knowing who God was as a teenager in those woods on my face on that sleeping bag. I remember it like it was yesterday. I knew God. You know what? What a wonderful relationship we had together. Amen? But I had the same place, same time. I remember I went to Bible college and my schedule was more hectic. And you know, I couldn't pray in my dorm room. There was too many guys around. So I remember going out. The Bible college I went to, there was a big lake. And there was woods around the lake. And I remember finding a tree. And I remember going to that tree every single morning and spending time praying to God. And then I remember one time I figured it out because I saw somebody else do it. There was this big pine-type tree where the branches grew all the way to the ground. And I saw somebody one day walking out of the pine tree. I'm like, oh, I bet there's a place under there. And sure enough, there was. And it was like the big tree was kind of hollowed out in the middle. And I'm sure other guys probably used it too. But I found that tree that I'd go to and I'd spend time praying. Listen, if we don't make it a priority, we won't do it. You got to make it a priority. So if you're going to, that's how you ought to begin your day every single day. With the Word of God, with prayer, same time, same place. All right? The importance of morning devotions. Number two, let's talk about this. There is a difference, though, between morning devotions and walking with God. There's a difference. Okay? Morning devotions are important. But reading your Bible for 15 minutes every morning and praying down a list is not walking with God. That's not what walking with God is. It's part of it. And I begin, it's the opening conversation, all right? But remember something. If you're walking with somebody, that means that you are heading the same direction together, okay? That means if I'm walking with my wife, that means we're on a path, we're making progress, we're heading the same direction. And listen, walking with God, it's what you do throughout the day. Morning devotions is basically the opening conversation to get your day started. Amen? Listen, God wants to speak to you, not just in the morning, but all throughout your day. God wants to speak to you. All right? The Word of God, we ought to meditate upon it as we go throughout our day. I mean, you ought to, during your morning time, during your Bible reading, that maybe there's a verse that sticks out in your mind. Maybe you write it down on a 3x5 card. Maybe you put a note on your cell phone or something. And you know what? As you go throughout the day, you think about that verse, meditate upon that verse, and allow God throughout your day to speak to your heart through His Word. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." Listen, you know what we do sometimes with our free time? We waste it. Okay? You know what? And I'm the same way. Okay? And you got to work hard at doing this. But sometimes, you know, maybe you're driving. Maybe you got some free time. And there's nothing wrong. There's certain times I just like to think. And then that's good. That's a good thing to do. But, you know, sometimes when you have that free time, you ought to, instead of just letting just a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter go through your mind, hey, why don't you think about the Word of God? You know, there's three things the Bible says we ought to meditate upon. By the way, that word meditation, it doesn't mean, you know, to sit in a lotus position and candles all around you. That's not what it's talking about, all right? That word meditate in the Bible, it simply means to mull over in the mind. It means to think about. By the way, we all think, all right? There's certain things we think about. But there's three things the Bible says we ought to meditate upon. Number one, we ought to meditate upon the person of God, who He is. Okay? Number two, we ought to meditate upon the works of God, the things that He does. The number three, we're to meditate upon the Word of God. Okay? Listen, don't just waste your time when you could be thinking about things and just thinking about nothing. Okay? Meditate upon these things. And as you go throughout the day, ask God to speak to your heart. I think Bible memorization is important. And that's why our kids, we incorporate Bible memorization into their schooling and that they memorize parts of the Bible. Listen, there's still today, I can quote verses to you that I memorized when I was a kid. Okay? And I know the older you get, the harder it is to memorize. Okay, and I'm not saying you have to memorize as much as you did when you were younger or a young person could, but memorize something. Put the Word of God in your heart. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." If you're struggling with some sin in your life, you're struggling trying to get in victory over something, let me tell you the secret to it. Meditate upon the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. Amen? So throughout the day, all right, remember, walking with God is not just something you do in the morning time for 30 minutes or however long it takes you. No, it's something you do throughout the day. Listen, we ought to continue to speak with God throughout the day. By the way, God wants to help us as we go throughout our day. Listen, talk to Him. Speak to Him as you go throughout your day. I mean, listen, you're facing a decision at work. You're trying to figure something out. Maybe you know God wants you to do something and you're scared about doing it. Listen, just talk to God throughout the day. Lord, I need your help today, God. God, what would you do if you were here in my situation? Lord, would you please help me? Now listen, you're not going to hear God speak in an audible voice. And if you do, it's because you had too much pizza the night before, okay? That's why. You had too many red peppers from Sandy's, all right? Now, that, if you hear God speak in an audible voice, that's what it is. Because that's not how He speaks to us in the day and age we're living in. But let me say, He still speaks. Bible says he speaks in a still small voice. And I promise you, Christian, I promise you it's true. It happens to me all the time. If you pray and you get quiet and you listen, God will speak to your heart. He'll speak to your heart, all right? And so God wants to do that for us, okay? The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing." By the way, you know what that phrase means? Quit worrying! That's what that means. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. He says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know what God says? He said, look, instead of worrying, why don't you pray and talk to me about it? And if you do that, you know what He promises will happen? The peace of God will come and help you in your life. I don't know about you, there's been times in my life where, you know what, there was a decision I had to make. There was something that you know what, I was worrying about. I was fretting over. And I tried my best. And again, church, I promise, I don't always do what I'm even supposed to do. I can't tell you I don't ever worry, all right? But I try to do what the Bible says. Instead of worrying, I remember praying and asking God, Lord, help me, Lord. God, I want to make the right decision. God, would you show me? God, would you speak to me? And you know what? Before long, there was an unexplainable peace that came. You know what? Listen, that's all part of our relationship God wants to have with us every single day. Okay? So you carry that throughout the day as you go. And I promise you, God's presence will be with you throughout the day. Amen? And so it's more than just, yes, every morning. Okay, I'm going to read this just so I can check off a box. No, it's every morning. It's more, I just got to hurry up and pray through this list because I'm supposed to pray. No, that's the beginning of it. You do have that relationship in the morning, but it goes with you all throughout the day. And I challenge you, remember something, church, okay? And sometimes in our mind, out of sight, out of mind, okay? But just because you can't see God doesn't mean He's there. Okay? You know, right now there's things in this room we can't see. For example, all right, if I turn the radio on, it's going to work. You know why? There's radio waves flowing through the air right now. Okay? Why do these stupid things that we carry around with us all the time that we're addicted to, why do they work? You know why? Because there's signals flowing through the air right now, right? Now listen, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And just because you can't see God doesn't mean He's not there. He is there. He's with us. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in their midst. You know what that means? He's here tonight. You can't see Him, but He's here. Amen? Jesus Christ is present with us tonight. All right? And so as you go throughout the day, remember something. Christ is with you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, it's what we call the Great Commission. At the end of that, He said this, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You say, well, how can that be? I thought He was in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is. Well, how can that be if I'm here and another person's there? Is He with me? Yes, He is. Why is that? Because He's God. That's why. Amen. And so listen, develop that relationship with Him. Talk with Him. And a lot of times when I'm driving someplace and I got a long drive, and I'll converse with God, literally like He's sitting right next to me. I'll talk with Him. All right, Lord, how are we doing this morning, God? Thank You for letting me get out of bed. And I'm not necessarily look over there at the passenger seat like He's sitting there because I'm driving, amen? But I talk to Him like He's there. Hey, Lord, you know what? Thank You for what You did yesterday, God. How great it was to see our folks in church. And I listen, literally, that's how it works, amen? And so commune with Him and develop a relationship with Him. Why do we do all this, amen? Why is it? You know that God desires fellowship. Did you know that? God desires fellowship with us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, listen to this verse. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Remember something. Before you were saved, God sought you. Once you're saved, God says, now it's your turn, seek me. Okay? And listen, we can be as close to God as we want to be. Okay? If we'll seek after Him. God desires fellowship. God created mankind for fellowship. He created us in His image and in His likeness. Remember back in Genesis, and we're going to talk about this once we start doing our Bible study, but God walked the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day so that He could fellowship with Adam and Eve. Think about that. I mean, literally, God came down at the same time every day, and Adam, I have no idea what it was like, but remember, they were not in a sinful state. I don't know if literally they saw God, as we're going to see Him in heaven. I don't know what form He came in, but you know what? He came and walked with them every single day. Think about that. Until sin entered and broke that fellowship, okay? And so listen, Christian, God loves you. He desires to spend time with you. In His eyes, no one else can take your place. You are precious. He made you in a unique way who He wants you to be. And yes, He's big enough to name all the stars, but He also loves you and knows you on a personal level, amen? That's awesome. That's something that ought to help us and excite us, amen? And so God desires to have fellowship with us. You know, there's different relationships that God has with man. You know, first of all, every single person has what's called the creator-creation relationship. Every single human being. Okay? And I don't care what the world says. I don't care what scientists say. Listen, every single person, God had a hand in making. Okay? The Bible says that He formed us in our mother's womb. Do you know why you are who you are? Because that's who God wanted you to be. He wanted you to be that for Him. You know why I have the color of hair I do, and the color of eyes I do, and the build I do? You say, your parents' DNA. Well, no, because that's what God wanted me to be. Amen? Every single person, God made how He wanted them for Himself. Okay? And so every single person has that creator-creation relationship. And you know, sad to say, for some human beings, whether they even know it or not, that's the only relationship they'll ever have with God. Okay? But then, you know what, God? He doesn't want to stop there. He doesn't want that to be the only relationship. God then would love to have the Father-Son relationship. God wants everybody to know Him as their Heavenly Father, and they're His child, and it's called being a Christian, being saved. God wants everybody to have that relationship with Him. But sad to say, a lot of people will never know that relationship. But you know, there's another level of relationship God wants to have. Jesus said it like this in John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know, God wants to have a friend-friend relationship. God wants you to be His friend. Think about that for a minute. By the way, when you understand what a friendship is, I mean, if you're close friends with someone, listen, you know what that means? That means you got a special relationship with them. That means that you talk about things with them, you don't talk to other people. That means that you do things with them, you don't do with other people, if you're someone's close friend, and God wants to be your friend. Man, that's awesome. Amen? And you know what the only thing that's stopping God from being your friend? You, me. That's the only thing that's limiting. It's not Him, it's us. And you know what? God's relationship, God doesn't force the relationship on anybody. It's a matter of whether or not we want to pay the price to be His friend. Amen? And so, when you begin to commune with God every day, you begin to walk with God day by day, as we listen to Him, as we talk to Him, as we enjoy His fellowship, this new relationship begins, and that's the relationship of friendship. Amen? And I promise you, there's not a Christian alive that God doesn't want to be their friend. Amen? And so, again, this is a part of what we're talking about here when we're talking about walking with God. And I want to challenge you, Christian. Listen to me. Why don't you just decide in 2018 you're going to begin the process of walking with God? Okay? Again, I said it this morning. Don't settle for the status quo. Anybody can have things that are just common. Anybody can just have this casual relationship with God if that's what they want. Listen, it's really not that hard to do. Okay? But once you decide you're going to up your level with God, amen? Up that level of saying, okay, God, you know what? I've known you. I'm a Christian. I've known you for so long. But God, I want a deeper relationship with you, Lord. I want to know you more than just as my Heavenly Father. God, I want to know you as my friend. Spend time with Him, amen? By the way, hey, start tomorrow. Start. We all got to start someplace. And by the way, if you fail, pick yourself back up and start again. You know, the Bible tells us, God says in the book of Lamentations, that His mercies are new every morning. Every morning is a fresh start with God. Okay? And so listen, if you fall off, if you don't do what you ought to do one day, start again the next. Amen? And let me challenge you, let's begin in our Christian lives to walk with God. There's some more types of things I want to teach you, but that's as far as we're going to go tonight. But I hope I whet your appetite a little bit. Amen? I pray that maybe you're going to have a new desire, something that never was there before, to know God like you've never known Him before. Let's